My name is Josh Friedman. I am a journalist from the United States, based a lot of the time in Europe, sometimes elsewhere. And I report for Calcos News, an investigative news publication in California. And I've written for quite a few other publications on a freelance basis. I first attended a Bilderberg meeting on the outside, obviously, in 2016 in Dresden. And I've been to everyone since then, except for the following year in Washington, D.C. And to me, Bilderberg is an extremely significant geopolitical meeting, summit, conference, however you want to refer to it. And nowadays, it almost seems overlooked to me, because over the past couple of years, there's been a whole lot of emphasis and critique placed on Davos and the World Economic Forum. And it seems like, to a large extent, a lot of people have forgotten about Bilderberg, yet many of the people who are on the steering committee or even attend Bilderberg quite often are very heavy hitters in geopolitics, very significant people who have a lot of say about events that happened in government, business, the media, and so on.
Yeah, for me, it was discovering that the chairman of Bilderberg for the first 20 years of its existence was a former SS officer. I found that quite extraordinary, particularly with its almost king-making power in Europe particularly. But what is it, do you think, that is a good way into understanding the relationship between the Bilderbergers and the World Economic Forum? Because both of them, there's quite a few members of both. They seem to have a kind of almost revolving door, with Schwab, for example, the boss of the World Economic Forum, a former steering committee member of Bilderberg.
Yes, and Borg Brenda, the president of the World Economic Forum currently, is likewise a steering committee member, and I ran into him at the airport this year in Lisbon when he was leaving.
So what's the relationship between the WEF and the Bilderbergers?
I wouldn't say that it's so clear. There's, as you mentioned, I mentioned, there's crossover at a high level, and then there are many people who attend both Davos and Bilderberg on a yearly basis. I would say that to some extent, there's a major difference in the sense that Davos will include people from much more of the world, quite significant people from all over the world. Like, for instance, Xi Jinping might come and speak, and world leaders who are not just from the U.S., Canada, and Europe. But very, very connected people to both the World Economic Forum and Bilderberg this year. For instance, I ran into, as I said, Borg Brenda. I also ran into, among many other people who attend Davos, Matthias Döpfner, the CEO of Axel Springer. And he actually brought that up when I was questioning him this year about why there can't be more statements made publicly about Bilderberg. He made the point to say that Davos is a very public conference because it's a large conference, whereas Bilderberg is a very private conference because it's a small conference. And I found that to be a bit of an excuse, but it was interesting to get that remark out of him, which doesn't really explain the connections between the two, but it was somewhat of an odd justification for the lack of transparency within Bilderberg as opposed to Davos.
Yeah, so it's also very connected, Bilderberg, with the NATO countries. I know that you actually did some pretty damn good work this year by figuring out that some important guy from Sweden was there. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that ended up being the focal point of my reporting, I'd say, this year. So I ran into Magdalena Andersson, the former prime minister of Sweden, current opposition leader, outside of the hotel on, I think it was Saturday. And I immediately went up to her and started asking her questions related to Sweden's bid to join NATO. And I did not realize at the time who there was a man walking with her as she was, and they were basically trying to avoid me and not answer any of the questions. I didn't realize that the man walking at the time, I didn't realize that the man walking with her was Oscar Stenström, who is Sweden's lead negotiator in its NATO membership talks. And lo and behold, I was asking all these questions about Sweden's bid to join NATO and Turkey's objections to it, and they weren't having any of it, and they just walked away from me. And didn't answer anything. And then after the fact, I was going through the participants list and trying to figure out who that man was. And I couldn't find him on the participants list. But after a while, I determined that it was Oscar Stenström. And I contacted the Bilderberg Media Service about it. And they gave a statement to me saying basically that they wouldn't mention him by name, but they implied that he was not a participant in the meeting. And they said in this statement that there are extra people in the hotel, like staffers and people who might just be providing whatever job there is to fill around the hotel, but also including staffers of participants. And it was basically just writing off Stenström as someone completely unimportant. Yet it later emerged that there was a photo taken of him looking out a window during their Saturday night dinner at this big palace. It's called the Palace de Ajuda in Lisbon. And Stenström was right next to Christopher Cavoli, the U.S. general who is the he's NATO's top commander in Europe. And that was quite interesting to see Stenström talking with Cavoli. And he was there, obviously, having conversations with Anderson, who was his former boss. And then this was all in the context of not only Jens Stoltenberg being there at the meeting, but at last year's meeting in Washington, D.C., Stoltenberg admitted or just flat out put it out in a tweet that he was having, that he had talks with Finnish Prime Minister Sanna Marin about that, what was at the time Finland's bid to join NATO, as well as Sweden's bid to join NATO and Turkey's objections to it. So that was what I was trying to raise with both Anderson and Stenström, not knowing it was Stenström at the time. I was trying to ask them about that. If Jens Stoltenberg last year was having NATO membership talks with Sanna Marin, who, by the way, was there again this year, then are you having any NATO negotiations at Bilderberg this year? And none of them would answer that.
Well, no, you know, what they'll say is that, hey, guys, I mean, this is part of the problem with Bilderberg. They seem to be getting their knickers in a twist because they're saying, on the one hand, that these are just simply private meetings. And yet what's happening is private people are turning up at these meetings, supposedly private, but they're not announced. They're not on the official list. So the international press, when they're looking at this and saying, well, we better not report on this because it's just a private meeting, the people who are there are not on the list. But also, it's quite clear that senior government officials are coming along with their various government representatives. So this looks far more like an official delegation than just a private meeting, Josh.
It does. And also, speaking to that point, I don't remember their names, but there were staff members for Chrystia Freeland who were in attendance. There were multiple photographs taken of them. I believe Chrystia Freeland's the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada, and she was there for the second year row. And with regard to NATO, her name had been floated as a potential replacement to Stoltenberg. Likewise, some people might view her as the heir apparent to Trudeau, but she had staff members there. So if you have high-ranking politicians attending a meeting, and sometimes the governments will flat out acknowledge that they're attending the meeting. But I remember back in, basically implying in a formal capacity. I remember in 2018, I discovered well in advance of the location, which was Turin, Italy. I discovered that well in advance because the Serbian government announced that the Serbian prime minister would be attending that year. And the European Commission sometimes put its, including this year, they'll put it on their calendar if a commissioner is coming to Bilderberg. There are many, many signs that indicate that there are high-ranking public officials attending in their capacity, formally attending, fulfilling the functions of their office as opposed to just being there as private individuals.
Yeah, so look, I mean, it's very cheeky for me to even ask you this, but I'm going to anyway, which is a lot of the attendees, a lot of the makeup of the people there tallies directly with the NATO countries. So quite clearly, NATO is a big part of what Bilderberg's all about. Some simply say it's a political lobby of NATO. But we've got an important summit coming up later this month in Vilnius in 2023. I wonder if you have any thoughts about what might happen there, Josh. There's a lot of tension, particularly with the Turks, saying they don't want the Swedes in NATO because of the burning of the Quran in Stockholm, which seems to happen on a almost clockwork like basis every few months, and obviously the attempt by people like Rishi Sunak, who very much would like Ukraine to be able to join NATO, to sort of cut the red tape and get NATO in get Ukraine in. So what do you make of this up and coming NATO meeting?
Well, that's interesting, and there are Bilderberg connections to that as well. So I did try one of the things that I was asking Anderson and unknowingly asking Stenstrom as well was that I think just hours before I ran into him, Erdogan, who was then back, he was still on the campaign trail at the time. He had just come out with a statement saying something along the lines of he didn't think that Sweden is ready for NATO. And I tried asking Anderson Stenstrom about that. And I thought that after the Turkish election ended, that maybe things might calm down a bit between Ankara and Stockholm, and because of the serious economic issues, particularly related to the devaluation of the lira in Turkey, I thought that maybe other NATO members, the US namely, might be putting enough pressure on Turkey to get Sweden in. But it seems like since then, things have gone more inflamed with the burning of the Quran. And I don't think that's even really the primary issue that the Turkish government raises, although they obviously take huge offense to that. But there's the issue with the allegedly harboring these PKK terrorists, or people supporting the PKK and supporting the Fethullah Gulen network, which the Turkish government is totally opposed to. The Swedes did enact some anti-terror law that supposedly they need to do in order to get Turkish approval. But at this point, I don't see them getting in Vilnius unless some serious leverage is used with Turkey. And that is quite possible. I remember when Donald Trump was president and he merely tweeted about how weak the lira was, and then it shot down by like 12% or 15% in a day. So there is the possibility of something like that taking place. And then also with regard to NATO, it's interesting timing, because just over the past several days, Dmytro Kuleba, the Ukrainian foreign minister who was there at Bilderberg this year, gave a couple interviews. One was directly to a steering committee member, which is Gruber, the Italian, Lily Gruber, the Italian journalist. She interviewed Kuleba about Ukraine's NATO ambitions, among other things. And then likewise, Kuleba just gave an interview to a Die Welt journalist, but it might have also been to other journalists within publications that are Axel Springer publications. That's how it was described in a couple of the places that were covering it, like Politico. And as I mentioned earlier, Matthias Dufner, the CEO of Axel Springer, he's a steering committee member. And I was wondering if perchance Kuleba was agreeing to interviews setting up interviews at Bilderberg this year, because he just gave one to Gruber, who's on the steering committee, and he gave one to various Axel Springer outlets, or at least it was published in various Axel Springer outlets. And most notably in that interview that was published in Die Welt and others, Kuleba made some comments about how it would be suicidal for Ukraine not to join NATO after the war is over. And I wasn't quite sure how to read it. I don't know what all got lost in translation, maybe nothing, but I'm not sure if he was saying that it would be suicidal for Europe or NATO not to let Ukraine in, or if it would be suicidal for Ukraine alone not to join NATO. But anyway, it's interesting timing, because Kuleba was just giving interviews to a steering committee member, or maybe a couple by default, about that NATO issue.
Yeah. Okay. What about actually Ukraine joining, though? Because that there has been, I mean, we've had Rishi Sunak saying he wants Ukraine in. Ben Wallace, the UK Defence Secretary, saying he wants Ukraine in. Many of these people, are either part of the deep state or part of the City of London. They're not really acting in the interests of the voters. And I don't think anyone voted for this NATO support for Ukraine in our elections. But anyway, what do you make of this whole bid? Because it just seemed like it's almost childish, Joss, that they're saying that that NATO can join, because it can't. If you look at the NATO treaty, because it's got obviously a war going on in Ukraine, and they've got serious border disputes going on. So that by the charter, they can't join just with that. But it might be that there is going to be an attempt to sort of cut through the red tape and just get on and do it. But that potentially could put NATO in direct conflict with Russia. So anyway, what do you make of it? It almost sounds like it's either going to be a devastating NATO meeting or a total car crash.
I think there's a legitimate chance that Sweden does get let in at Vilnius. I'm not betting on it, and I don't know if it's – I don't know what chance to give it, like I said before. But Ukraine's not going to get let in at this Vilnius meeting.
No, so you think it's just all...
I mean, we're talking about the future. How far into the future, I don't know. And obviously what transpires in the war is going to have a lot of say as to Ukraine's future in or out of NATO. But it really isn't – it's not some new phenomenon that certain NATO countries or governments or politicians within NATO countries want Ukraine in. They really moved in that direction in 2008 and then backed away from it. And there's really that divide that existed in 2008 in large part still exists now, even though times have changed so much with regard to what's going on militarily in Europe and in Ukraine. But the US, UK government, and the Baltics and much of Eastern Europe, they're very much supportive of Ukraine's NATO bid. And I guess I would say much of Western Europe, to some extent Central Europe, is not.
Okay, Josh, thanks very much. But could you just tell listeners how they can follow your work, how they can find some of your journalism?
Sure. For Bilderberg coverage, you can just find me on Twitter at FreemanReporter. It's as it sounds. And on YouTube, Josh Friedman.
Okay, and what about your writing? Some of the writings on, for example, you've been writing quite a lot about, and I think some of the best reporting actually from this year's conference about the appearance of these sort of anonymous, so-called anonymous, anyway, Swedish civil servants. Whereabouts can we find that?
Yeah, that article was on Calcoast News. It's calcoastnews.com. I've been writing for them for more than a decade. And sometimes I do geopolitical coverage for them, although it's obviously California-focused news website. But that article is on Calcoast News, and you can find it in Google News just by searching Sweden. I forget the exact headline, but Sweden and Bilderberg. That should get you to the article.
Yeah, and maybe NATO as well. All right, maybe, Josh Friedman, thanks very much for joining us.
All right, thanks a lot, Tony.